Hi, Dylan. It's Nana again. I've got another book for you. I wanted to say hi to Sophia, too, but I did get this book mostly for you, Dylan, so you could read along with me, okay? Hi, Sophia. I love you, baby girl, and I'm going to see you in 45 days, okay? Dylan, I can't wait to see you, buddy. We're going to have a really fun sleepover. This book that I'm going to read to you is called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And when you open the book, you're going to see those signatures on it. And I believe that those are the signatures from the author. So this is a very special book. Okay. In a small village in Malawi, where people had no money for lights, nightfall came quickly and hurried poor farmers to bed. But for William, the darkness was best for dreaming. He dreamed of building things and taking them apart, like the trucks with bottle cap wheels parked under his bed and pieces of radio that he had cracked open, and wonder, if I can hear the music, then where is the band? Silly kid, huh? His grandpa's tales of magic was also whispered in the pitch black of his room. Witch planes passed through the window with wild ghost dancers twirled around the room as if 100 men were inside of their bodies. At dawn in the fields, William scanned the maze rows for magical beings, then wondered, as a truck rumbled past, how does the engine make it go? Pay attention where you throw that hoe, his father shouted. You'll cut off your foot. For all its power over dancers and flying things, magic could not bring the rain. Without water, the sun rose angry each morning and scorched the fields, turning the maize into dust without food. Malawi began to starve. Soon William's father gathered the children and said, from now on, we eat only one meal per day. Make it last. In the evenings, they sat around the lantern and ate their handful, watching other hungry people pass like spirits along the road. Money also disappeared with the rain. Pepani, his father said, I am sorry, you will have to drop out of school. Now William stood on the road and watched the lucky students pass, alone with the monster in his belly and the lump in his throat. For weeks, he sulked under the mango tree until he remembered the library down the road, a gift from the Americans. He found science books filled with brilliant pictures. With his English dictionary close by, William put together how engines moved those big trucks and how radios pulled their music from the sky. But the greatest of all was the machine taller than the tallest tree with blades like a fan. A giant pinwheel? Something to catch magic? Slowly he built the sentence. Windmills can produce electricity and pump water. He closed his eyes and saw a windmill outside his home, pulling electricity from the breeze and bringing light to the dark valley. He saw the machine drawing cool water from the ground, sending it gushing through the thirsting fields, turning the maize tall and green, even when farmers' prayers for rains went unanswered. This windmill was more than a machine. It was a weapon to fight hunger. Magesti in Mifepo, he whispered. I will build electric wind. In the junkyard, pieces appeared like rusted treasures in the tall grass, a tractor fan, some pipe, and bearing and bolts that required every muscle to move. Tunga, he shouted at the birds and spiders holding up his prize. But as William dragged his metal home, people called out, this boy is Masala. Only crazy people play with the trash. Masala must mean crazy, huh, Dylan? Yeah. After many weeks, William arranged his pieces in the dirt. A broken bicycle, rusted bottle caps and plastic pipe, even a small generator that powered a headlight on a bike. For 3 days, he bolted, banged, and tinkered while chickens squawked and dogs barked, and neighbors shook their heads saying, what's Masala doing now? His cousin Jeffrey's best friend Gilbert soon appeared. Muji Bunjwanji, they greeted. Can we help with the electric wind? Grab your pangas and follow me, he said, and took them to the forest. Together they swung their sharp blades into the trunks of blue gum trees, then hammered them together to make the tower. Standing atop, William shouted, bring it up, while the boys tugged and heaved. The crowd gathered below and gazed at the strange machine, and now learned to wobble, and that now leaned and wobbled like a clumsy giraffe. Some giggled, others teased, but William waited for the wind. Like always, it came. First a breeze, then a gusting gale. The tower swayed and the blade spun around. With sore hands, once slowed by hunger and darkness, William connected wires to a small bulb, which flickered at first, then surged as bright as the sun. "Tonga," he shouted, "I have made electric wind." "Watch it to buena," a man yelled. "Well done." As the doubters clapped and cheered, William knew he had just begun. Light could not fill empty bellies, but another windmill could soak the dry ground and create food where there once was none. "Majesty of Mefepo, electric wind can feed my country," William thought. And that was the strongest magic of all. That is so cool how a little boy figured out, just from going to the library and reading books, that windmills could make electricity, which could help feed their crops. Huh, Dylan? It's a pretty cool book. I think it's a pretty neat story, too. I hope you like it. I love you, my boy, so, so much. I just cannot wait to see you. I just cannot wait. It's killing me to be away from you for so long, but I will be home really, really soon, okay? Sophia, I love you, baby girl. I miss your fat little cheeks. All right, Dylan, I hope you enjoy the book. And like I said, I'll see you really soon. I love you, honey. Bye-bye.